The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Welcome to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. I'm June Grosso. Every day we bring you insight and analysis into the most important legal news of the day. You can find more episodes of the Bloomberg Law Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Another 5-4 decision down ideological lines from the Supreme Court in its final day of the term. Labor unions lost and the Trump administration won as the court ruled that government employees have a constitutional right not to pay union fees, overturning 40 years of precedent. Joining me is Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr. Greg, tell us about the opinion.
Hi, June. Yeah, as you said, 5-4, Justice Sam Alito wrote the majority opinion for the conservatives. He said that when unions take positions in collective bargaining, they are taking positions on matter of public concern, and for that reason, workers have a First Amendment right not to contribute to that work of the union, even though the union is doing things that might also benefit the workers.
Justice Elena Kagan wrote for the minority, in opinion with some fervor, she said, "There's no sugarcoating today's opinion. The majority overthrows a decision entrenched in this nation's law and its economic life for over 40 years. Tell us about what she talked about, that overthrowing of the Abood decision.
Yeah, the Abood decision, a 1977 ruling that said that public sector unions could collect what are known as agency fees from non-members, from employees who say, I don't want to belong to the union, but the union could still require them to pay for the cost of collective bargaining. That 1977 ruling did put some limits, said that workers don't have to fund ideological or political activities. And the Supreme Court today said that was a bad decision. We are throwing it out. And in Justice Kagan's dissent, she said this is going to have pretty dramatic consequences for the ability of governments to manage their workplaces. They might, she said, lose the ability to have a single union that they know represents all the workers in the workforce, and there could be all sorts of consequences that we're going to have to learn about down the road.
Greg, this ruling really wasn't a surprise. It wasn't like the travel ban because of the history of this case. Tell us about that history.
Yeah, this was about the most expected decision of the term, although it took a while to get it out. The court had been considering this issue a couple years ago when Justice Scalia was on the court, and it looked like they were poised to issue a decision much like this, a 5-4 decision that would have overturned Abood and said workers have a free speech right not to pay these fees. And then Justice Scalia died, and the court ended up splitting evenly 4-4 in that case. So once Donald Trump was able to fill that vacancy with Justice Neil Gorsuch, the conservatives had their fifth vote. The court agreed this term to take up this case. And, the only hope for the liberals seemed to be winning over Justice Gorsuch, who, of course, is a rather conservative justice. And, indeed, he did what was expected and joined the conservatives to overturn the Abood decision.
There were a series of 5-4 victories for conservatives this term and several in controversial cases like yesterday's travel ban. You wrote a story analyzing this entitled, "When It Comes to Donald Trump, the U.S. Supreme Court Apparently Is As Divided as the Rest of the Country." Tell me about the analysis you went through there.
Yeah, well, so I'm still looking into this today. Obviously, the Trump travel ban decision divides the court 5-4. You have the 5 Republican-appointed justices on one side, the 4 Democratic-appointed justices on the other time. And this is a pattern that has dominated this term. We haven't had any of those cases where Justice Anthony Kennedy joins the liberals in a 5-4 majority. So on the travel ban on these union fees, the American Express antitrust case the other day, a Texas voting district gerrymandering case the court decided earlier this week, the case involving anti-abortion pregnancy centers. I mean, the list goes on and on. The very important cases that were decided by that single vote.
Greg, you mentioned Justice Kennedy, who was, you know, the swing vote, and is seen as the swing vote. Everyone says he might be retiring. We don't know if he will or not. Probably not, right, today.
But as of now, no.
Okay. So, but is he getting more conservative in his thinking, or is it just the kinds of cases that are facing the court?
Yeah, a big part of it was the kind of cases. So, you know, one case I didn't mention, a case involving arbitration agreements signed by employees. Justice Kennedy joined the majority to say that companies can enforce those arbitration agreements and prevent workers from filing class action lawsuits. Well, that's the kind of issue that the court has dealt with repeatedly. We know that Justice Kennedy is with the conservatives on that. The biggest surprise this term from Justice Kennedy, I think, was that in some of those cases where liberals sometimes can get him on their side, the case involving the baker who didn't want to make cakes for same-sex weddings, the cases involving partisan gerrymandering, those seem like at least opportunities for the liberals to persuade Justice Kennedy to be on their side, and those could have been significant victories for the left. Both of those issues, the court essentially punted, didn't come out with anything big. So, in the cases that mattered, it was the cases where Kennedy was with the conservatives where the court ended up doing something big.
All right, Greg, a much deserved vacation coming up for you. Thank you so much for all your reporting this term. That's Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr. Attorney General Jeff Sessions held firm over the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy at a law enforcement conference in Nevada on Monday.
The president has made this clear. We're going to continue to prosecute those adults who enter here illegally. We are going to do everything in our power, however, to avoid separating families.
Sessions now has no choice whether he feels it's in his power or not. A California federal judge has given the Trump administration 2 weeks to reunite immigrant children under the age of 5 who were separated from their families at border crossings and 30 days to reunite children 5 and older. Judge Dana Sabraw has also ordered the administration to stop detaining parents without their children and to stop deporting parents who've been separated from their children. Joining me is Lori Nessel, director of the Center for Social Justice at Seton Hall University School of Law. Lori, the judge blamed the Trump administration. Tell us how he described what he called the chaotic circumstance.
Sure. I mean, the situation, you know, which has gotten a lot of coverage, is that children were being, you know, torn away from their parents at the border, and you know, as also has been made publicly available, is that children have gotten lost by and large in the system. It was a, you know, an attempt to criminalize all immigrants, asylum seekers at the southern border, take their children away as a means of trying to deter people and send a message that they shouldn't be coming to this country, even if they fear for their lives. And it was done in such a way that there's been incredible anguish and trauma and thousands of children, many of whom are unaccounted for.
And the judge also said that the government has an affirmative duty to reunite parents with their children. But he also pointed out that the government takes account of property all the time of defendants in cases and never loses the property. How did they lose the children?
Right. Well, and what this really raises is that, I mean, these are human beings, right? And they're coming to our country largely to seek protection from an incredibly dangerous conditions in their home country. And we do, the government has an obligation both under international law and under our immigration laws to treat people with dignity and to provide them in a humane way with a chance to seek protection. They don't have to be granted protection, but they have to be allowed to seek protection. And so by doing away with any form of discretion and completely criminalizing this population, what's happened is that it just, you know, that we've seen this in so many other instances with this administration. Things are not thought out or planned. It's just an announcement that's made, and then there it wasn't done with the proper agencies, and it wasn't clear what was happening to these children, where they were being sent, who was ultimately responsible. You know, it's an incredible crisis and really dark moment in our history that this has happened and it's happening.
So what happens now that the judge said he felt that he needed to issue an order? Now he has this order, which is pretty stark as to what has to happen, but will the government be able to do that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, so there is now, like you say, there's an order, there's a very set amount of time in order to reunify these traumatized children with their traumatized parents. But yeah, it's going to take some work in terms of tracking them down. I know that lots of the not-for-profit organizations around the country are really pitching in terms of trying to get information and interview kids and locate and making efforts to try to make sure that families can be reunited.
The judge was very specific in his order. He said that in his decision as well, he said that it's not enough that the government gives out 800 numbers that don't answer.
Right.
They have to make an affirmative duty to actually reunite the families. And that's more than the government has accepted in the past.
Exactly. And what that points to is that, I mean, this is the family separation is horrific, but it comes on top of a system that already has so many problems and where there's just a lack of basic fairness throughout. So, for example, a big part of the problem is that there's no right to have a lawyer if you can't afford one in these proceedings. And as we know, the president has recently said, well, let's not even give them any due process. Let's not have people even go before a judge before they're deported. And so it all really comes together to make this incredibly chaotic situation. Because if there were an orderly process, if there were more immigration judges, another thing that the administration has been against doing, increasing the number of immigration judges, if there was a right to have a lawyer present so that these people, both the adults and their children, could understand what's at stake, then it would be much easier to reunite, much easier to do things in the proper way. But the problem now is that all of those pieces come together and create this storm where we have this humanitarian crisis of lost children.
So, Lori, in light of the judge's order, can the Trump administration continue with the zero tolerance policy, or does the judge's order actually circumvent that?
Well, so there are a couple of different pieces of litigation. The injunction that was issued today is specific to saying that the government can't detain parents without their children unless there's a finding that the parents are unfit or pose a danger. And then, as you mentioned, there are those specific time frames for the need to reunify. However, the injunction, and again, it's just the injunction, the case will go forward, doesn't go as far as to say that the entire process has to stop or that families can't be detained. Now, there is other litigation. There was a lawsuit that 18 different states across the country joined in that was filed yesterday. And we'll have to see what happens with that litigation, because that requests broader relief in terms of really asking for the whole criminalization and denying asylum seekers the chance to seek protection be enjoined.
We have about a minute here. President Trump has made the distinction at times between families crossing into the U.S. illegally between checkpoints and those who are requesting asylum at the border crossings. But the judge didn't make that distinction. What's your reaction to that?
Right, because that it's a problem that what should happen is that, again, under our law, our domestic law as well as international law, anyone that's seeking protection should be given that right to seek protection. But because the administration has been completely undermining that legal right, it's impossible to tell then who's in need of protection, who's coming for economic reasons or some mix. But the issue is that, according to this injunction, everyone who wants to seek protection, who came here because their lives in danger, should be given the opportunity to do that. Well, that's
Lori, we'll have to leave it there. Okay. There's so much to discuss on this topic because there is a lot of confusion. That's Lori Nessel. She's director of the Center for Social Justice at Seton Hall University School of Law. Thanks for listening to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. You can subscribe and listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcast. I'm June Grosso. This is Bloomberg.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.